Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into another edition of the PandaDot.com podcast. It's Thursday. Hope everybody's had a great week. I know where this guy's going as soon as tomorrow afternoon, it sounds like. The voice of the Panthers, Dave Cohen, on the line. No big deal, Dave. Just a trip down what I call the Devil's Highway down I-16 to Hanner Fieldhouse this Saturday. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Ben. Thanks for having me on. And another meaningful trip to Statesboro for Ron Hunter and Georgia State basketball. A lot riding on the line on this one, as you well know. And I guess by Saturday afternoon, we'll find out a little bit about the seeding for the Sun Belt Conference tournament, because you got Texas Arlington hosting Texas State. You got Georgia State down at Georgia Southern, and it'll shake out late Saturday afternoon, early Saturday evening by the time those two games get done. So a lot riding on this trip down there this time.
Well, and with that, you know, it's been really interesting. The last year, and we talked about it just briefly off the air just there, you know, we knew the game was earlier, number one, going down there. The trip was earlier in the conference schedule, so you didn't have as high of stakes. And I think what was kind of unique, and it could have been a positive, it ended up turning out to be a positive, but locking in that number two seed, just because Lafayette had just distanced himself and really lapped the field last season, you knew where you were going to be, and everyone was kind of waiting to get to March, and you saw the Panthers kind of tumble, really, you know, toward the end of the season last year, specifically in late February. This season is a little bit different. You know, the top four seeds are locked in, but quite honestly, as you mentioned, we know we know the Georgia schools are going to be in the top four. We know the Texas schools are going to be in the top four, but there's a whole lot of work to be done. And you know, what I've continued to tell people and fans on our site and other places, it's pretty simple. You win in Statesboro and Georgia State's the champ. They're the number one seed. They collect a ring and we get to hang another banner on the sports arena, you know, ceiling, basically.
Yep, no question. A lot riding on this one because you want to get that double bye. This would be very similar to 2015, the R.J. Hunter, Ryan Harrow year, the NCAA tournament year, when all we had to do was win the two games down at Lakefront Arena in New Orleans. And certainly three is not out of the question, but you'd rather go down there and only have to win two ball games, and gives you a lot of extra time to get your legs rested up and bring some momentum down into New Orleans. So, again, it's a tall task. Georgia Southern has won, what, six in a row? They've only lost one game since they lost to us back on February the 2nd, so they've been playing pretty well, and Georgia State has been too, save for a bump in the road here or there, a la Coastal Carolina, but finished strong, I thought, with the convincing wins over Arkansas State, Arkansas Little Rock, and hopefully we're ready for this ballgame down there. Going to need another total team effort. DeMarcus Simons and I talked about it on Inside Georgia State Basketball this week, which is now out on the social media channels. They know there's a lot riding on the line. They know that this could very well be, regular season-wise, the last time that these guys suit up together for regular season basketball. And just like they did against Little Rock and Arkansas State this past week, everybody got involved. Everybody made a contribution. Didn't necessarily have to have one guy scoring 30. They spread the scoring around. They spread the defensive wealth around. And I thought played really well, and hopefully will carry that momentum from how well they've practiced this week down into Statesboro on Saturday.
Well, and we talked about it in the last podcast you and I've cut, and we've talked about it, you know, offline for a while, really probably since January. When this team is locked in defensively, when they're intense and they're focused and that zone is working, and they're you've got Kane Williams, who I believe is probably one of the most improved players, if not certainly on this roster, but maybe in the Sun Belt as a whole, the way he's improved both offensively and how much of a menace he is defensively. I still believe in my heart of hearts that if he plays in the Troy game, that game goes the other way, just from a defensive point of view, not to mention his 10 points a game. But when this team is locked in defensively and the shooters that are on the perimeter, and obviously DeMarcus doing what he's doing, this is a very, very difficult team to beat. It's just those defensive lapses that we have seen at times, and even really to open the gate, Dave. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the same thing I have, but it almost seems like every first media timeout, TV timeout, I can't remember too many times, quite honestly, where the Panthers have actually been ahead in recent play, specifically in the Sun Belt games. We know about obviously how well this team has done once they've had a halftime lead, but it just seems like these slow starts, no matter if it's at home or away, have really been kind of a staple of this season, which has been very, very strange to me.
Yeah, we've seen that somewhat. Coach Hunter and I have talked about that in our on the radio on our pregame shows. You saw that definitely up on the Appalachian State Coastal Carolina trip. And if anybody listened to that ballgame, I think if I said it once, I said it five times. Appalachian State, in my opinion, the night we played them, I couldn't see how that team was 9-17, especially with that starting five. That team, to me, looked like at least a 15-18 win team, the way they played, and possibly more. But, again, I'm not around them. I've only seen them once this year. But that night, they were certainly better than a 9-win team. And the same thing with Coastal Carolina. I think they were 12-12 the day we went in there. And they played extremely well. I mean, they played way above their heads. The one kid coming off the bench to score 29 with his 9 threes, he had a career day. Even in that ballgame, Georgia State showed fight because we were down at one point, as you know, by 32. Fought back, cut it all the way to 9, just couldn't get it past that point. Fast forward to last Thursday and Saturday, regardless of the start, if you look at both of those games against Little Rock and against Arkansas State, led Arkansas State at halftime 37-29 and outscored them by 8 in the second half. As you mentioned, defensively, I thought played great defensively in both those games, forced 19 turnovers, had 9 steals, and converted the turnovers. They converted those turnovers, those 19 turnovers against Arkansas State, turned into 25 points. And go back to the Little Rock game, and I've got the stat sheets here in front of me. We led that ball game at halftime, 43-23, did get outscored in the second half by 7, but still had enough of a cushion there to win it, but forced 19 turnovers in that ball game, came up with 14 steals, and converted those turnovers, those 19 turnovers into 24 points. That's the kind of defense that we're going to need out of the gate against Georgia Southern. As they sit back lying in wait for us to come down there, they know as well as we do what's at stake for this ball game. So definitely got to come out, start the game on the road like we did against the Arkansas schools and not like we did at Appalachian State and Coastal Carolina.
Well, and I think that's the frustrating thing. You know, certainly Ron Hunter and his staff have looked at this season. And he's even mentioned it in interviews with you, even interviews on the radio, on his weekly check-ins with 92.9 The Game. It's just talking about, it's so difficult to motivate these guys in the month of February because naturally they're going to look ahead. It is a very senior-laden, especially starting lineup, and as we know, Coach Hunter doesn't dip too far into the bench. But, you know, you're having guys who just – They just want to get to March. They just want to get to the conference tournament. They just want to get down to, you know, really the meaningful basketball, which everyone around the country, this is when folks pay attention to college basketball, as we well know. And you and I have talked about this before. We've been here since October. Where have you been? But, it's very difficult, and he's even seen it where it's been hard to get them to focus night in, night out on, you know, an App State or Coastal Carolina trip and things like that. I don't think focus will be a problem on Saturday. This is a rivalry game. The place is expected to be packed and even potentially sold out, although there are tickets still available if folks are looking to make the trip down to Hanner Fieldhouse, of course, or just listen to Dave on the radio and, you know, and then I and mute the TV like I do. I wanted to obviously ask you too. I mean, you've been to Hanner several times. We had just talked off the air about the game when Coach Barnes was the head coach down there, and we had the lead that went and eventually lost into overtime. What is it about that building, if there's anything, or things that you have seen or memories? Obviously, they haven't been great going down there with the results, but what is it about that place that is just so difficult to play? I would ask you as someone that has seen that building several times over.
Well, I would say more than several times going back to the old Transamerica Athletic Conference days. We had some great games against Georgia Southern Back in those days, Bob Reinhart was the head coach at Georgia State. Frank Kearns, the head coach at Georgia Southern. They were loaded. There were a few years there where we were what I would consider loaded for Georgia State basketball back in the day. You know, we won it in 1991. When we won the tournament down at Stetson at the Edmonds Center. And then a lot of folks don't remember, because if you look at Georgia State's NCAA tournament appearances, either the year before or the year after, they've had a great shot to have gone consecutive years and have never been able to do it. Well, Georgia Southern was one of those years in 1992, people forget, after going to the tournament at the Omni against Arkansas in 91. In 92, Georgia State and Georgia Southern met in the Trans-America Athletic Conference championship game, the final game. In those days, the tournament in the TAC, at least for that year, was not held in one site. It was played at the higher seed campus sites. So Georgia State and Georgia Southern played for a championship in 91-92. Down at Hanner Fieldhouse, and Georgia Southern ended up winning that one 95-82. Xavier Smith had 18, and it was a great ball game. I talked to Philip Luckydew about that game a lot. He was on that ball club, and Georgia State again missed a good opportunity to go to back-to-back tournaments. Same thing in 2000-2001. After going in 2001, remember, lost to Florida Atlantic in the tournament that following year down in Orlando. To me, the best team that Ron Hunter may have had since he's been here was the 2014 team with R.J. Hunter, Ryan Harrow, Devontae White, Manny Atkins, so on and so forth. Remember, that team lost in overtime to Louisiana Lafayette and then came back and won it in 2015. So we'll see now, after going in 2018, if we can do, you know, pull it off here in 2019 with a back-to-back trip. But you're right about Hanner Fieldhouse. You know, the interesting thing about that place is that, unlike a lot of other arenas that we have been to over the years, folks that are visiting with other teams would say, well, you know, the Georgia State Sports Arena really looks pretty much as it looked when we were in the old Transamerica, save for a new locker room. But with regards to the seating and the arena, not a whole lot has been done to it other than a few upgrades here and there, throw in the escalator out front. It's very similar at the Hanner Fieldhouse. I mean, Ben, that place looks, when I get in there, other than a few visual upgrades here and there, a school board or maybe some new seating, the building itself and the arena itself pretty much looks like it looked when I did those games back there in the early days of the Transamerica Athletic back in the 80s and the 90s when we shared a conference together. So the arenas for both Georgia State and Georgia Southern really look pretty much as they have looked since we started playing them, again, save for a few upgrades here and there. And normally when they come here, we have a pretty good crowd, as we have had since they joined the Sun Belt and we're back together again. And I'm trying to remember when I've made a trip down there, no matter how good or how bad we've been, record-wise, that there hasn't been a good crowd waiting for us when we get to Statesboro. And that's one of the beauties of being in the same league and having your rival three and a half hours away and knowing that you're going to play them twice a year, home and home. And, you know, that to me builds interest in the basketball programs for both schools. As we've talked, football, obviously, that Georgia State has added is now added to the level of the rivalry rather than back when it was just a basketball rivalry with a little bit in baseball and softball, so on and so forth. But the arenas, getting back to your original question, look pretty much the same way that they have looked since I started going there back in the early to mid-80s when the two teams were both in the Transamerica Athletic Conference. That's the beauty of it, I guess. I know we're talking about a new arena. I think I read something the other day. They're talking about doing some significant upgrades. I don't know if it's to the arena itself or the building that surrounds it. But for the most part, when we walk in there on Saturday, it's going to look pretty much like it did first time I walked in there, save for a few upgrades here and there.
Well, and you hit on a couple points there, and certainly, you know, your affiliation with the school, my affiliation with the school, with your statements about some of those games, I happened to be in the building. I was an undergraduate to see Lamont McIntosh, who will be joining you on the broadcast on Saturday, missed that elbow jumper down there, and seeing Sidney Green run on the floor as FAU went to the NCAA tournament instead of GSU there, and was there as well, as you well know, down in New Orleans for the Lafayette. But you know, you nailed it. I mean, this rivalry, and I wrote about it probably 4 or 5 years ago, talking about how great it was for both programs. And I caught a lot of heat and a lot of flack from the Georgia Southern fan base because they thought, hey, you know what? We don't need you guys. We're good. Everything's settled. We have our rivalries in football. But I think you nailed it completely. You even go out to baseball. I mean, you call baseball games. I mean, the Georgia State, Georgia Southern baseball game is probably going to be on both sides one of the most well-attended, you know, events of the year. They want to beat, you know, us. We want to beat them. We don't like them. They don't like us. The feeling is mutual. And that's what makes college sports, in my opinion, better on a lot of levels than professional sports. Certainly there's rivalries in professional sports as well, but I didn't go to the University of the Falcons. You didn't go to the, you know, University of the Boston Celtics. So it's one of those things where it's inherent, where you have multiple generations and multiple layers. And, you know, as I told somebody yesterday, they were, hey, I'm nervous about the game. What are you nervous about? You're not playing. You know, as a fan, you can certainly project that nervousness, but, you know, look, you know, these kids know that, you know, these guys, like DeMarcus even mentioned it, he knows the history of this. I think more for him, he's excited about probably his final matchup against Tukey Brown, who he's been playing basketball since he was 15 years old, as he mentioned to you. So those things are good. I just have continued to say more on Saturday, I hope the team manages its emotions correctly, because it is going to be a rabid atmosphere. Guys really, really get after it. Georgia Southern, for whatever reason, decides to put their student section very, very close to the opponent's bench, which can cause some issues. They do it in football as well, as you well know from being in that building down there for football games, for you know, multiple trips down there. It's going to be very interesting, and I kind of wanted your thoughts on the game, some quick keys that you have in your mind, you know, just a couple days out.
Well, let's start with DeMarcus, since he was with us on Inside Georgia State Basketball. I would like to see DeMarcus go back to being the kind of player, and I'm not saying that he's doing anything wrong, because obviously he's the preseason Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year, but in this game, I would like to see him take the ball to the basket and get to the rack more than settling for three-point shots. I think the strength of his game, especially against Sun Belt Conference opponents, and even going back to the game at Alabama in the second half, is his ability, his uncanny ability, to get into the lane and get shots where he's almost unstoppable. I've said it once, I've said it 100 times in the games that I have called in which he has played since he's been here. He can get to the rim pretty much whenever he wants. And if he doesn't finish the shot, 9 out of 10 times he's going to get fouled, or he should have gotten fouled and they just didn't call it. So I would like to see DeMarcus really, from his standpoint, control the game with his ability to penetrate and either get to the rim, or if you've looked at his assist numbers in the box scores pretty much after each and every game, he's averaging somewhere in that between 4 and 6 assists a ball game. So he's done a really good job distributing. And obviously, we've done a pretty good job finishing if Devin and Jeff and Malik, so on and so forth, are hitting their three-point shots. And even recently, Damon Wilson has, you know, I thought finished the season on a really good high note with his production. But starting with DeMarcus, rather than settle for threes, I'd like to see him go back to his strength and look at either driving and dishing or driving that ball right up to the rim and doing what he does best, which is score the basketball. Obviously, from Jeff Thomas and Devin Mitchell, we need consistent outside shooting. But one thing those two have shown as well, Devin and Jeff, is they do have the ability to, again, put the ball on the floor, get into the paint, or get to the rim as well, and not just settle for threes. From Malik, same thing. Does Malik want to play a little bit closer in? as well as, you know, look for his open shot. Same with Damon, and Kane needs to drive and dish and do the things that Kane's been doing. We'll see what Nelson Phillips does in his first trip down to Hanner Fieldhouse. I thought he finished pretty strong here in these last two games against the Arkansas schools, and already excited about the future with Nelson. And from Jordan Tyson, he's coming off, if it was Arkansas State or Arkansas Little Rock, 9 rebounds. All defensive rebounds. That's great. Got to keep Georgia Southern off the offensive glass. I don't want to see offensive rebounds from Isaiah Crawley or Monte Glenn or so on and so forth. And obviously, we got to defend the three. I mean, Tukey is kind of their version of DeMarcus. He can hurt you from the outside, but he can also get in the paint and get up to the rim just like DeMarcus can. We'll call him a factor could be Quan Jackson. He's averaging 15 points, almost 5 rebounds. Pretty good 3-point shooter. Active defensively. They don't have Ike Smith, obviously. Another one of their post players not eligible or not playing since, about a third of the way in the season. So that would be good news. They don't go very deep with regards to production. But, look, they've won 6 in a row, and they've only lost once, as I said, since we beat them back on since we beat them back in early February. I think their only loss was at Louisiana Monroe. So whatever they're doing it right, and they're playing well. And they're going to be playing at home in front of their crowd. So it's not that Georgia State has to go down and play an almost perfect game, but we have to play to our strengths. Again, starting with DeMarcus, driving, penetrating, either scoring, dishing, Jeff, Malik, Devin, knocking down shots. Same with Damon, Jordan Tyson, rebounding. I'll take the defensive rebounds if it keeps Georgia Southern off the offensive boards. Same with Kane, who's averaging 11 points and is top 3 in steals with 57. Kane, play your ball game. Come up with some steals, drive, dish, do what you've been doing all season. But everybody play to their strengths and get off to a good start and not have to dig out of a hole. That's a tough place to have to dig out of a hole, obviously.
Well, and I just pulled the box score up, and you're right, them not being very deep, but they're one of the better scoring teams in the nation. And that's the biggest thing that's been impressive to me is the guys, like you mentioned, Quan Jackson, you know, Monte Glenn's being super active. I'd have to go back and probably look at last year, but I remember even in the matchup last year where you have a scenario where if you can get guys on the inside because they aren't very deep, go get Monte Glenn 2 quick fouls in the first half and really, really do some damage because, you know, they don't have a ton of guys like that, and he is a presence on the offensive glass. If I recall correctly, one of the better rebounders in the Sun Belt, specifically from the offensive side of things, so getting him out of his game. You know, we caught up with one of the Savannah Morning News folks earlier in the week and just talking about how out of sync Tukey Brown was. And I think you mentioned it. He is their engine for sure. And one of their all timers, talking to folks down there, he may be a guy legitimately who may get his jersey retired. How does he handle senior day? That's his final game playing at home. We've seen it over the course of the years. You've been on the mic long enough. You've seen a lot of seniors come out too high. You've had some guys come out too low and reality setting in. Hey, this is it. They have more family coming in town. You may have aunts and uncles and grandparents and folks that you have to work on tickets for, different folks pulling on you that week. You'd think, hey, maybe you're focused or maybe more focused in that, but it may go the opposite way. So senior night does some weird stuff to folks, as we have seen already across the league in the last week and a half. Guys play up, guys play down. It's going to be very interesting to see for sure. Well, Dave, I appreciate the time, man. We will absolutely be listening. Safe travels down to Statesboro. As you always like to say, let's come out of there with the win. We'll be listening on the radio and thrilled that, old friend Lamont McIntosh, hopefully will be joining you as well, it sounds like.
Yep, looking forward to it. And the one last thing that I meant to add that we're going to need to do, Ben, we're going to need to make free throws. At the end of the day, got to make free throws at a higher percentage than we're shooting them right now at 66%. I hope it doesn't come down to that, but that's a big key. But, we'll be on at 4:30. Radio for Saturday, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We have our affiliate in Gainesville, WGTJ 1330 97.9. They're carrying the game as well. They carry a handful of basketball along with all the football. And then everybody can download the Georgia State Athletics app to their iPhone or Android, and that's another easy way to be able to tune Georgia State football, basketball, baseball in, is just listen on the app by downloading that to your smart device.
Hey, I said it to somebody already. If you can't listen to Dave Cohen, you're doing it wrong. You either don't have a computer, don't have a phone, don't have a radio, can't sit in your car. I don't. There's no excuses anymore, honestly. There's it's never been easier to listen to the voice call games. Well, enjoy it, man. Appreciate the time as always on a busy Thursday, and we'll be listening on Saturday afternoon for sure.
All right, Ben, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and let's get out of Statesboro with a W.